Welcome to what is a shorter version of our midweek meeting at Trinity Baptist Church, Maryport, during the lockdown. We'll begin by seeking God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we rejoice in your amazing salvation by your grace through faith in Christ alone, we do pray for the multitudes in this world who are seeking salvation by their own works or through Christ plus their own works. Open their eyes to see clearly that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done everything necessary to save sinners, and help them to see their great need is by faith to personally, totally rely on, rest upon, trust in him and him alone to save them, a sinner. As believers in Christ, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we pray by your Holy Spirit you would help us to more and more earnestly and continually, from the heart with faith, seek you in prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you can turn in the Word of God to Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We'll read a few verses from that chapter and then from chapter 4. So, Galatians 3 and reading from verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And if you turn to chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, we thank God for his word, and we pray that he will bless to our hearts that reading from his word then. On Tuesday evenings now, over several weeks, we've been looking at the use of the word learn in the scriptures. Now this evening we come to its use by Paul in his letter to the Christians in Galatia. And he asks the question in chapter 3 and verse 2, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Paul, not surprisingly, is a very concerned man at this time. The reason for his concern was because there were Jewish false teachers, and they were implying that faith in Christ alone was insufficient to save a sinner. These false teachers were either saying, on the one hand, that salvation was by a rigorous observance of the Jewish ceremonial law, or on the other hand, it was by faith in Christ plus a strict observance of the Jewish ceremonial law. But what these false teachers were teaching was not what the Apostle Paul had preached. that salvation was by faith in Christ alone. And the problem was, as Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 1, many of the Galatians had been foolishly bewitched, that is, taken in, misled by the false teaching of these false teachers that said, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to obey the ceremonial law to be right with God. These Jewish false teachers would be looked upon as learned, knowledgeable men. Maybe some of them were very eloquent in the way they gave their false teaching. But nevertheless, what they were teaching, what they were saying, was error. And Paul is so concerned that amongst the Galatians there were those that had been taken in by this error. And as a result, therefore, were moving away from the truth the Apostle Paul had preached to them. What was that truth? He proclaimed Christ alone as the only way of salvation, and faith in Christ alone a necessity for a sinner to be saved. So Paul, having preached Christ and him crucified as the only way of salvation for lost sinners, and many in Galatia having professed faith in Christ alone for salvation, for them now to be taken in by these false teachers and act now as if they also had to be circumcised and obey the ceremonial law to be truly saved. No wonder Paul's concerned, so concerned for them, because this false teaching was taking away from the truth of the sufficiency of the work of Christ for salvation. They seemed to have obeyed the truth that salvation was by faith alone in the crucified Christ, suffering for their sin, being wounded for their transgressions, and bruised for their iniquities. However, knowing God's truth, that Christ crucified is the only Saviour of sinners, that doesn't save anyone. For a sinner to be saved, they need to obey that truth. They have to respond to that truth. They have to, as Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Christ and him crucified was the great theme of the Apostle Paul's preaching. By Paul's preaching Christ and him crucified, he'd been so plainly set before these Galatians. It was as if, he said, they had seen Christ crucified before their very eyes. The Word of God, let it be clear, tells us nothing about Jesus' physical appearance, his height, the colour of his eyes or his hair, and probably for good reason, because the sinful heart of man inevitably will make idolatrous images of him. In fact, has done so in sculptures and various images, in paintings. And even though there is no revelation about Christ's physical appearance, there are man-made images, sculptures, pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people foolishly have even worshipped and adored them. Even drawings in children's books and Bibles are not really ideal, because there is no way by a sculptor or a painter or a drawing you can properly portray the eternal, infinite God the Son in human flesh. People often have a desire for some visible representation of the Lord Jesus, but it's not necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be set forth before our eyes, as it were, by the preaching of God's word. Indeed, Jesus himself says to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, the Apostle Paul, to bring home to these Galatians the folly of following this false teaching, as if being circumcised or observing the rest of the ceremonial law was necessary for salvation, Our salvation was by faith in Christ, plus the observance of the Jewish ceremonial law. Paul, to expose how foolish they were being, asked them a question. He asked them to tell him this. I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you obeyed the gospel and by faith trusted in Christ crucified to save you? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit because you kept the ceremonial law? Well, these genuine believers in Christ in Galatia, who were being somewhat taken in by these false teachers, knew only too well what the answer was to Paul's question. On faith in Christ, they had received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come to dwell in them. It hadn't been as a result of efforts to observe the Jewish ceremonial law. They knew the blessing of the indwelling Holy Spirit hadn't been through the observance of the ceremonial law at all, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So having received the Holy Spirit and all the blessings of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and knowing that I'd been by faith in Christ alone, really this question of Paul was enough to fulfill the purpose of showing them their folly in being taken in by these false teachers. Hardly needed to go any further. Nobody receives the Holy Spirit either as a result of works they do, and nobody receives the Holy Spirit as a result of faith in Christ and works they do after that. Everyone receives the indwelling Holy Spirit immediately on faith in Christ alone for salvation. Jesus in John 7 talks about rivers of living water, and he explains he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And notice what Jesus says, which they that believe on him should receive. Believe on him and you receive the Holy Spirit. Peter, as he stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out by the exalted, glorified Christ, he said that those who repent and believe on Christ would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit which he'd been speaking of. Indeed, Paul, writing to believers in Christ in Corinth, tells them in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit we all believers in Christ, by the one Spirit, have been baptized into one body. In Acts 10, Cornelius the Gentile and many with him, as Christ was preached to them, were told the Holy Spirit fell upon them. But in the next chapter, an explanation is given that God had given them the same gift as he gave us, disciples, apostles, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, was an evidence, the proof, that these Gentiles, Cornelius, had truly believed on Christ, because those who believe on Christ receive the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds Christians in Corinth what's true of all Christians. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. John, in his first epistle, at the end of the third chapter, makes very, very clear the indwelling Holy Spirit is evidence where Christ's. You see, there is no such thing as a Christian who doesn't receive the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Christ receives the Holy Spirit. So much so that Paul can say to the Roman church, as he writes his letter to them, If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now there was an awareness in the genuine Galatian believers in Christ. It was by faith in Christ alone, not by observance of the Jewish ceremonial law, not by faith in Christ, but observing the Jewish ceremonial law, but by faith in Christ alone, they'd received the indwelling Holy Spirit. And having been born again of the Holy Spirit and come to faith in Christ and received the indwelling Holy Spirit, it's absurd, Paul is suggesting, to think, as perhaps these false teachers were implying and suggesting, that they would now spiritually grow, advance, come to perfection by the works of the flesh, by them observing the ceremonial law. It's folly to look for spiritual growth by mere dependence on the outward observance of the things of Christianity. Of course, as believers in Christ, we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. We are to pray. We are to read, believe, and obey God's word. We are to observe the ordinances of baptism and communion. But ultimately, our spiritual growth is the result of God graciously at work within us by his Holy Spirit, so that we become more like Christ. Without Christ, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We're never going to truly grow. So we have our part to play. We have to do those things God has told us to do. But without the enabling, the strengthening, the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we wouldn't get anywhere. So Paul shows the Galatians, he shows us in turn, that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, and it results in us receiving the Holy Spirit and growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, is a result of the Holy Spirit at work within us. We're not saved by outward religious observance or by any work we do, but by faith in Christ alone. And the sinner who by faith trusts in Christ alone to save them, then they immediately receive the Holy Spirit, who is continually at work within us, that we may become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here and now, we don't need sculptures to represent Christ, or images, or paintings, or drawings. Christ Jesus is set before our eyes in God's word. And one day all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will ultimately see not some poor, inadequate representation of the eternal God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we go to be with him, we shall see him as he is. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for sending your only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of sinners. We praise and thank thee for saving us by your grace through faith in Christ alone. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit on faith in Christ Jesus. And we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to become more and more like our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.